I was trying to build a sermon this morning around a particular story that I'm going to end up closing with. And the further I went trying to develop a sermon around that story, the Lord kept bringing me back to a message that I have already had prepared. And I actually preached this in chapel just a few weeks ago. So those of you students that were at chapel when I was there just a few weeks ago, this will be a little bit of a rerun for you. But it's a small handful in comparison to everybody that's here this morning. And it's a message for me. I believe it's a message for you. It's for all of us. And even those that aren't here this morning can hopefully go back and listen to it and receive help from it as well. Looking in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, I won't be necessarily reading from there, but I'm looking there, Isaiah 48 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, referencing these passages and looking in those for the spiritual and the scriptural lesson this morning. Would you first of all bow your head with me as we ask for God's help in this service, part of the service this morning. Father in heaven, we come to you because we need you. Come to you today because you are our hope and our strength in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our inabilities. And I pray for the divine touch from heaven this morning. Speak to our hearts. Speak through this speaker, this servant of yours this morning. Some way speaking right into the very hearts and the minds of those that are listening today. I pray all of it in Jesus' name and for the glory of God and for the advancement of your kingdom. And amen. Amen. I have in my hand this morning another object for an object lesson. You probably know what this is. I think all of you living in the country, living in the place that we live, have an idea of what that is. Maybe you can't see it. It's a little bit bigger than the things that I held a couple weeks ago. We call these railroad spikes. They don't really mean anything to any of us. I don't know that anybody here has ever worked on the railroad as a railroad employee. I don't know that you have. Don't know that you haven't, but we probably have very little contact with these, except that perhaps when you're walking down the railroad, you'll see these just laying there. If you're walking down the railroad and you see one that is still fulfilling its purpose, you don't see the entirety of it. All you see is the head of it. They're not very valuable to us at all. They mean very little to us. As a matter of fact, the railroad track that runs closest here hasn't had a train run on it for so long. We've probably forgotten when it was. And so it even maybe speaks to us even more as a valueless piece. Especially those that are laying on the side like this one was when I found it, when I picked it up and I brought it home and I polished it up so I wouldn't have all that dirt and grime on my hands. At first glance, you just take a look at it, it's not much of anything. It's just a piece of iron, it's rough, it's heavy, it's common. I'm sure that for years, this particular spike had been driven through that bracket that was holding the rail onto the railroad ties. I'm sure that it did its purpose for a while. Something took place and it now was just laying there, not doing anything of any value whatsoever. Its life consisted of being in the dirt or laying on the stones. Its original purpose was functional, its existence mostly unnoticed. Object lessons are something to teach us something to speak to us through. Those words could speak to a number of us here this morning, mostly unnoticed. People walk by them. people ride over them. Nobody that I know of admires a railroad spike, especially this one, because its purpose had come to an end and was just lying on the ground, slowly decaying by rust. But then something happens. You say, well, what possibly could happen to make this particular or one like it of any value? You can think about that in the human thing as well. What possibly could happen to make me of any value or any purpose in my life? But then somebody, it takes a special person to get a hold of it. It takes God to get a hold of our lives. But when I'm talking about the railroad spike, I'm looking at it from this aspect, and a blacksmith gets a hold of the railroad spike and he begins to change its purpose, making it into something different from what it was. Would even appear to have a different color, but it's just the color of the inner steel. You know how that blacksmith changed it from this particular look to this particular look? He picked it up and he probably put some tongs on it and he stuck it into the fire. Placed it right into the fire, not just long enough to burn the dirt off, not just long enough to burn what little bit of oil may have been on it, but he stuck it into the fire until it glowed bright orange or a fire red. So hot that if you were to touch it with your skin would immediately blister. Probably even melt off of your finger or whatever it is that you touched it with. I'm talking about an intense heat until it glowed red and in some measure became pliable to the hammer blows of that blacksmith. Hammer blows. He began to strike it on the anvil until he had a hole formed, and he stretched that form out until you could put a piece of wood in it and make it like a hammer. And then he began to smash this into a flattened piece. It took blow after blow after blow after it was in the fire in the intensity of the heat. Again and again and again until what was once a useless, unnoticed railroad spike took on new value, took on new purpose, and became something entirely different. And in this case, a small hatchet. Did you notice what I said? Through fire and pressure and shaping and even grinding, had to grind the edge down to sharp. And it won't shave you, but it's fairly sharp. It becomes a hatchet. Sharper than it was before. Stronger in this sense than it was before. More useful now for itself. More useful than what it was just laying there along the railroad bed. More intentional than what it was for many, many years. I believe that that's exactly what God wants to say to somebody today. A spike had its potential, but it needed transformation to become something of value for the present. The railroad spike had its value. It does have a measure of value, but it needed to become something more because it had lost its value. For me, I would look at it, maybe that's the way it would be for you as well. You would look at it from this aspect and you'd say, what in the world could you ever do with that? That is absolutely worthless. Probably collect a bunch of them and take them to the scrapyard and turn it into money for the building fund. A few pennies here and there, it adds up. But really, they're ugly. They're really worthless in the dirt sense, in the way you find them on the railroad bed. It takes work to get them fixed up. You may look at your life and say, well, I'm ordinary. I'm overlooked. I'm even scarred. I have some tremendous scars on me. I'm just barely holding things together. You know, it's holding the track together. It's doing a purpose when it's only visible by that much sticking up out of the wood. I'm barely holding anything together. I can't even hold it together by myself. I've got to have four other ones on the same side with me in order to do it. But God sees more than what you are. He sees what you can become. Jeremiah 18, he records for us the words of God as God sends Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And there Jeremiah saw that potter working with clay being reshaped by the potter's hands. And God speaks to Jeremiah, and yea, he speaks to us today as well. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. You see, God specializes in seeing purposes where others see commons. Just commonness, but God sees purpose. The world may see a spike, but God sees a tool for advancement. He sees a tool for destiny. He sees a tool for moving forward. You may feel like you've been buried in the routine, driven down by life and overlooked and unappreciated by people. But heaven says, heaven has a different way of looking at you, has a different way of seeing things. And while all of that may be your feeling about yourself, God has a different thing to say, and that is, you are not finished yet. I think maybe we need to resurrect the old child song that we used to sing and sing it from time to time, at least in your home. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. In order for this particular railroad spike to be turned into something of different value and different use, it had to go through some fire. Now let's just go off the deep end this morning and use our imagination for just a little bit and think within ourselves, think within our imagination, if this spike could talk. You see, that's pretty weird, isn't it? I mean, that's probably more weird than a serpent talking to Eve in the Garden of Eden. This thing doesn't even have oxygen. It doesn't have a mouth. If it could talk to us, what would it say? And remember, it's brilliant red. It's being hit on by a hammer. It's being ground on by some sharpening stone or some method to make it sharp in its end. And all of this is a painful process. If this spike could talk, I wonder if it would say, why the fire? Why the heat? Why all this pain? It's pretty simple, because cold iron can't be shaped. Does that make sense to you? Cold iron cannot be shaped. It has to go into the furnace. And when we think about the furnace, I'm reminded of the writer of Isaiah, where he says, God speaking to him, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. None of us enjoy the fire. Now somebody may say, well, what does the fire look like? I suppose if you were to stop and ask yourself that question, what does it look like in your life? You would have all kinds of examples of the fire or the pain of the process of being transformed or forged for purpose. It could be financial pressure. It could be family and relationship struggles. It could be health issues. It could be some kind of a disappointment in life that was brought to you where you didn't even deserve it. Why did I have to go through this disappointment? Maybe it's employment struggles or betrayal of some kind, a loneliness in the dark hours of your life, some kind of a spiritual warfare. All of those things could be brought into play when we're talking about what the fire looks like. And it's in those moments that we ask, God, why are you doing this? Why am I going through this? And the answer is the same, because some things in us cannot be changed by comfort. Cannot be changed by comfort. You see, pride can only be removed by the burning coals off the altar. Selfishness is only broken when we go through the fire. Fear can only melt away when it's brought into the fire. You see, there's so much involved with the fire. Fire is not always punishment. Remember, the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace, and that was intended to be punishment. But not all fire is punishment. Sometimes fire is preparation. What about the hammer blows that were forming? You see, the hammer blows were forming. They were not destroying. After the fire, then the intensity of the fire, we find the hammer blows. Strike after strike. I don't know how many times it took. This was made by Anthony Albright up here on the hill, if you're wondering who made it. I don't have any idea how many blows it took. I don't have any ideas how many times he had to put it back into the fire. It may have been more than one time that he put it into the fire. And I know that it was blow after blow just to get the hole put into it, let alone flattening it out. And it's smooth. And then the grinding process, shaping it. If the spike had feelings, I'm sure that it might think, this is going to kill me. This is killing me. But the blacksmith isn't trying to destroy it. He's shaping it. And that reminds me of Romans 8:28, where Paul tells us that all things work together for good to them that are the called. All things, not some things, all things. Preacher, are you saying that that moment of rejection is one of the all things? That particular point of pain that brought tears and the intensity of my heart being broken, yes, that was included in the all things. All things work together for setbacks that come in our lives, even unanswered prayers that we may experience. Those things are included in that subject of all things working together. Every single blow is part of God's shaping process. The enemy wants to convince you that you're being crushed. The enemy wants to convince you that you are being destroyed, but God is saying, I am forming you. I am shaping you. I am making you. The old spike was holding some things together for a while, but now it was lying dormant. The hatchet can cut through some obstacles. Some perhaps have just been barely surviving. They've just barely living their life in survival mode and barely holding things together. But God is saying, I didn't call you just to survive. I called you to advance. Maybe not this hatchet, but a hatchet can clear brush. Hatchet can clear barriers, break through barriers. A hatchet can make a way when there wasn't one, where there wasn't one before. It could be that somebody this morning is going through the fire and it's because God is changing your assignment. You were a spike, but you're becoming a different tool in His hand. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Well, I could get off on a tangent with the word sanctified in there. Sanctified, we're not going to be the full picture of what he intends for us in holiness or in sanctification unless we go through the fire. To purge the dross, to purge out the unnecessary, the unwanted. In the midst of all of that, God is preparing us for usefulness, preparing you for usefulness. Now, here's what encourages me even more than what I've already said. This encourages me even more because it gives us the understanding and the realization that God is faithful. And you said, well, preacher, what is that? Please help me. I need it. Well, first of all, let's realize that the spike never shaped itself into a new tool by itself. The blacksmith was in control the entire time. I like that. When it was in the fire, he held it. When it was under the hammer, he held it. When it was being sharpened, he held it. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you are a true child of God this morning, the Father has you. The Father has you. The fire doesn't make him release his grip on you. The process does not make him remove his hands. Every step of the way, he has held you. And he will hold you. The story is told of a lady who went by the name of Adelaide. Adelaide became deeply discouraged because she had some big hopes and heavy dreams and desires in life. She wasn't in any way selfish with those desires, but things were just not going right. Disappointment seemed to be her lot every time she turned. Adelaide was in full-blown discouragement. She was frustrated. Completely cast down in her spirit, in distress of soul, is what it was said. Struggling to understand why God was closing the door to her dreams. Kenneth Osbeck wrote this about her. In this state of discouragement, she, Adelaide, attended a little prayer meeting one night and was greatly impressed with the prayer of an elderly woman who omitted the usual request of blessings and things and simply petitioned God for an understanding of his will in life. This is what she heard this elderly lady pray. It really doesn't matter what you do with us, Lord. Just have your way with our lives. She left that prayer meeting, having gone into that prayer meeting with such deep, deep distress of soul, left that prayer meeting to pen the words to the song that we know of as Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Mary Beth would come to the piano. Are you in the fire right now? Are you under the hammer right now? Do you feel like life is reshaping you or grinding on you? I challenge you this morning, don't run from the process. Don't shy away because it feels like you're breaking. But it actually may be that he's forging. Lord, forge me into what you created me to be. Through the fire, through the blows of the hammer, the grinding of the wheel, to make me what I should be. Psalm number 480, Let's stand together and sing it in conclusion this morning.